Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 51 of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. So last we left off, the forces in Central saw fit to try and waken their immortal legion, even though there were some aspects that hadn't really been tested yet. You know, naturally, this seems to be a bit of a short-sighted and desperate endeavor, but I guess with other military forces closing in, they don't have much of a choice, really. And you know, the people who would create such an immortal legion as this, they're probably not super sane and with it to begin with. You know, this officer is sort of looking upon them as though there's some magnificent fighting force, even though they're just sort of dithering around. You know, there's no discipline or anything. But then again, they're more like mindless zombies than anything else, so I don't know what you'd expect. Yeah, I feel like this guy wasn't thinking too clearly. He's just sort of standing around as they approach him and invariably tear him to pieces and devour him. You know, I feel like such an outcome, like, that was far from outside the realm of possibilities. And this, no doubt, Einstein stand-in, he's decided to try and kill the Immortal Legion with bullets rather than do something more practical, like get out of the laboratory like his life depends on it. You know, clearly he wasn't too attached to his life if he's not willing to run. Oh dear. Wow, they just sort of left Barry the Chopper to sit and rot there. That is incredibly putrid and disgusting. I mean, I guess to be fair, the stewards of this place wouldn't care too much to clean him up, but jeez. So it seems to me that by progressing deeper into the bowels of the third laboratory and the underlying complex, I feel like they're going to run smack into the Immortal Legion, as it were. And undoubtedly, you know, it's not going to be a good time. Like, maybe Scar can do something with his destructive alchemy, but you know, if they are in all practical terms immortal, you know, what can conventional weapons do to them, really? Now, speaking of what conventional weapons can do, Major General Armstrong's not playing around. You know, she stabbed that guy through the arm before, and now she means to... well, stab him a fair bit more. You know, it's interesting that she's in this tricky position, but she's just sort of strong-arming everyone, even though... you know, like, the soldiers in Central, given that they're all corrupt traitors, you wouldn't think they'd be so disciplined as to not just, like, shoot their officer because they don't care. I mean, I guess it's not a lack of discipline or anything. I think it's more cowardice than anything else. Oh, dear. Well, I guess that guy kind of got what he deserved, but, you know... if General Armstrong could just bully all the regular soldiers with nary a care in the world, that's one thing, but you can't really do the same thing to Sloth. So on the one hand, you know, he's sort of been assigned to kill the Major General. And she's certainly smarter than he is, but without the backing of artillery or something like that, I don't think there's a whole lot she can do. I mean, she seems willing to fight him in single combat with little more than her sidearm and her sword. I find it funny that even she says the line. Regarding, you know, the Armstrong family line, and this sort of has been passed down for generations. So I guess there's something in genetics after all. You know, it certainly seems like that phrase is hereditary. So it seems like I was kind of right to a degree earlier. You know, Scar's alchemy does seem to damage these guys, but not in any permanent way. Worse yet, you know, it seems like Edward is only now realizing the true nature of these abominations. You know, they are in all likelihood sort of quasi-homunculi in that human souls were sort of taken and mashed together to create them. Still a rather horrifying prospect. Although I do find it interesting that it's sort of like this mental comparison between them and the trapped souls within Envy, that's sort of what causes the coin to drop. I do find it interesting that despite being effectively immortal, these guys are pretty ineffectual. You know, they're just sort of surrounding Ed and company. They're not really doing much. So I feel like these guys are more like cannon fodder than effective soldiers. You know, the idea is that they could just overwhelm stuff because they are undying, rather than because they're truly effective in any way. You know, I'm wondering if perhaps there is some sort of mechanism for controlling these guys that just nobody presently involved is aware of. Because otherwise, you know, this seems like a really short-sighted kind of thing to do, to create essentially zombies that can't be killed and can't really be controlled or ordered around either, at least not reliably. So it would seem as though Mustang is encountering a bit of trouble in that getting into town might be a bit difficult, you know. There seems to be a bunch of cordons around watching out for an ice cream truck that they know him to be driving. So I feel like the only real way to get through is via disguise or subterfuge, especially if he's unwilling to start killing a bunch of people en masse. Alright, so Pride is still just, like, whacking away on that helmet. And there's definitely a pattern. You know, I feel like this guy being, I guess, somewhat of a soldier, he should know by now that something is up if he's been listening to this for a day. Yeah, so it might not be exactly SOS, but it's definitely some form or variation of Morse code. Yeah, there we go. Like, we already knew Father was kind of aware of what was going on, but that he would send Kimblee, that's definitely not good. Because I guess if anybody were poised to blow up a big dome of Earth, Kimblee would be in a rather good position to do so. Now, if I recall correctly, he still has a Philosopher's Stone, so he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. So it seems like we might be poised to have a lot of negative turns of events. Because on the one hand, you know, Pride is now loose. And on the other hand, we have Mei Chang fleeing from the Immortal Legion with Envy in tow. You know, she seems to think that Envy was playing her for a fool, and of course he was, but this probably wasn't what he was anticipating. Nevertheless, I'm certain it's probably a good thing for him, considering each of these bodies presumably has many souls within it. And if he can take over a body, you know, surely he can sort of regain his old form. Yep, there we go. Just when we thought we might be free of Envy, he's managed to worm his way back into a position of power. You know, whether or not all these immortal legionnaires are enough to sort of restore him to where he was before, that's a bit unclear, but, you know, this is definitely a massive upgrade from being essentially a leech in a jar. Yeah, Envy really is gross with how he does all that stuff, all that sort of vacillating flesh. Ugh. Yeah, so I bet Mei Chang's feeling real silly right now. You know, not only is she out a homunculus, but she also let Envy basically become a credible threat again. You know, that's really not good for anyone who opposes what Father's up to. So it seems like there's all sorts of stuff going on. Unfortunately, Yoki is kind of right in that Dr. Marco needs to keep a rather low profile. If he were to be discovered and taken hostage, he would surely be used as leverage against Alphonse, Nedward, and the others. Oh dear. You know, I feel like Kimblee's going to make some sort of snide remark about, like, you ate gluttony, not the other way around. Teehee. At the very least, he does seem a little trepidatious about Pride essentially eating his own kind, being a cannibal. You know, that's definitely something we as human beings find abhorrent, and rightly so. Yeah, so things aren't looking too good for Alphonse right now. On the one hand, he's not really at risk of death. You know, they need him by virtue of him being a sacrifice, whatever that means. But at the same time, he's likely not going to be in a position to help anyone. I mean, he's rather determined nonetheless, cutting off his own legs at the shins. Now, back with General Armstrong, it doesn't really seem like there's very much she can do. Because on the one hand, you know, she's managing to dodge around everything Sloth does, but her pistol doesn't do much. And frankly, I doubt the sword is going to do much more. I mean, at the very least, she's sort of smart enough to get people to fight each other, for want of a better term. You know, Sloth is just kind of dumb enough to mow down the other soldiers, albeit accidentally. Although I do have to say, you know, if he was able to survive tank shells head-on, then I seriously doubt a grenade's going to do very much to him. Yeah, it's gotta be rather uncomfortable being crushed like that. Alright, this is what's up. Finally, Major Armstrong's gonna have a little bit of redemption here. You know, he was a coward earlier at Ishfall. His sister, kinda beat the tar out of him. Now it's his turn to turn the tables and do something. You know, I mean, in all likelihood, he's not going to be much of a match for Sloth on his own. But given that he's here and he's packing all that muscle, he can do something. So, good on Alphonse. He's more interested in helping the injured Chimera than getting away, necessarily. I mean, whether or not what he's doing is meaningful, that kind of remains to be seen, because Heinkel here, he's of the opinion that he's going to die, and that Alphonse would spend his time better by actually trying to get away, since he's the vital component here. And I guess that is kind of true, but Alphonse is too much of a good guy to just let him die. You know, unfortunately, maybe cutting off your legs at the shins wasn't a terribly good idea. I mean, I don't know what else he could have done given the circumstances, but I feel like maybe transmuting yourself some more armor by drawing minerals out of the ground, you know, that might be an advisable course of action. Don't know how difficult it would be, considering, you know, he doesn't have like a dedicated circle or anything like that, but I feel like Alphonse being able to clap and transmute like he can, I don't know. It should be somewhat feasible. Ooh. Tables are turning. You know, I'd kind of forgotten about that. He had squirreled away a little Philosopher's Stone. And handing that over to Alphonse will definitely even the odds. Yeah, that is a very potent weapon, especially considering that it's like... yeah, decent-sized Philosopher's Stone as well. I mean, obviously there's going to be some moral ambiguity to using the Philosopher's Stone, you know? Obviously, it's not a good thing, but if it's used in the service of protecting the innocent, I feel like you could get a little bit of leeway in doing that. And indeed, that's the argument Heimkel is making here. You know, don't use it selfishly. Use it for a good cause. And it's still not a good thing, but the idea is the trapped souls can... in a roundabout way, do something meaningful despite their wretched condition. And I feel like that's a pretty compelling argument. I also find it interesting that Heimkel had held on to this for so long without using it, because it's been a good, like, 15 episodes or so. You know, I don't think he's an alchemist or anything like that, but I feel like he could have at least maybe told someone, if surreptitiously. Man, how's that for dramatic irony? Prey's talking about how, if Alphonse doesn't have his legs, how can he possibly escape? Well, it turns out he can get his own legs back. Here we go. Yeah, Alphonse means business now. He's not running away. He means to fight. And considering the power he can now bring to bear, that's serious business. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.